B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's Super Wild Card Weekend. And we have all the games, Saturday, Sunday, and even the Monday night game that we will break down today right here on the DraftKings Over Under Show. I'm Joe Murray, joined by Dan Lifschitz. Tucker Silva is here as well. I figured, Dan, we might as well give some trends heading into this weekend, or at least what some of the trends have been of late when it comes to wild card weekend. But, you know, one thing I looked at is a lot of people like to just bet blind favorites, which is never smart. You know, it's kind of, it's never really successful. But wild card weekend in particular, 44, 45, and 2 are what wildcard favorites have done since 2010, okay? However, big favorites, Dan, have crushed the number. So there's one game that falls, and we'll break the game down, but one game falls into that category.
Kansas City.
There you go. The biggest spread in wildcard history. Think about that. The Pittsburgh Steelers are the biggest underdog in wild card history.
I think that's fitting.
Only two teams have covered as double-digit favorites. The 2011 Seahawks and Washington last year against Tampa Bay.
Oh, you mean double-digit dogs?
Sorry, yeah, have covered. Gotcha. Yeah, my fault. But generally, when you see a double-digit favorite in a wild card playoff, you run the chalk. Now, wild card unders, we've discussed this for those who've been listening, but we'll share it today. Wild card unders are cashing at 65% since 2010. That's a 92-game sample. Like, that's not, you know,
it's not a small sample.
Here's another one that I thought was interesting. QBs making their first playoff start. So not necessarily a rookie, just QBs. They're 16-31 straight up and 14-32-1 against spread since 2002. Baker Mayfield won last year, which is different. So the matchups that would affect that, you got Tampa Bay versus the Eagles and Jalen Hurts. Obviously, the Patriots and Bills.
Mac Jones.
And then Kyler Murray and the Cardinals versus the Rams. And then finally, two that are playing each other.
There you go.
Carr and Burrow. So, the more I look at it here, there's a lot of angles you can go with this week. And I know that, of late, underdogs have been pretty strong.
Dogs, with the exception of 2017, have basically covered at a ridiculous rate. I believe it was something like 62% in the past 6 or 7 years, I believe, that dogs have covered at that rate. Unders as well. It's a dog and under weekend. And if you're not prepared to take dogs and unders in the wild card round, usually, with the exception of a few years here and there, things have not gone well for you on wild card weekend. So, look, you got to be willing to accept the fact that some of these favorites are not going to win this weekend. You're not going to see the Bengals, Bills, Bucks, Cowboys, Chiefs, and Rams win. It's not going to happen.
I agree. And I'm trying to, like, look at these games a little different. For example, the Raiders are off this incredible win from a week ago. And I think we both look at it as when that happens, generally there's a letdown spot. But is there? You know, what's going on with Cincinnati? Is Joe Burrow hurt? Did they just rest guys a week ago? Like, the total's 49 in that one. I think the last matchup was 31-20 or something like that between the two teams. I looked that up right now, actually.
Yeah, and that's
32-13.
The total's dropped. It opened 49.5, and now we're seeing it 48.5. So there has been some money coming in on the under. The first half under was 24.5. Now it's either 24 with some juice or 23.5. So there's definitely been some influential money in the market coming in. I can also tell you that that's also the public side, Joe, as of right now. I think that this is going to be one of those, one of those totals that people are going to take the two quarterbacks who have never played in a playoff game trend very seriously in.
Absolutely. I would look at that. I mean, that's that right off the bat to me is, I mean, Carr's team has been there. Their coach has never been there. Same with Cincinnati. Like, there's that old number of 5.5, too, which was 6.5.
It's up to 6 some places now. You are seeing the Raiders hang a 6 at Ace PPH. We're seeing Metallic PPHs. So, I mean, there are some popular books, but some bigger books that are at least PPH books that are hanging Raiders plus 6. They probably need Vegas money.
Yeah, I'm just interested in the fact that, you know, Vegas is one of the, and we'll break the game in depth in a minute here, but Vegas has one of the worst secondaries in football. And they're going up against Joe Burrow. Yet the one thing is, like, this kid Crosby last week impressed me for Vegas. And granted, maybe he's going up against a stiff tackle.
He's been doing that for his entire
career. Well, yeah, if he can keep his nose clean.
Crosby's a monster, always has been.
If that kid can keep his nose clean, he's a player. He already is a player. But, like, he stays on the field. He's legit. And I think he's someone that can make an impact in the game today. The other one, so there's two games today, 4:30, Vegas-Cincinnati. And then tonight it's New England-Buffalo 3. Now, I see 4.5. What's weird is at one point in the week, I saw the Patriots at 2.5-point dogs. I don't know if that was a local thing I saw or did it swing.
That's a local thing.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it was a local thing. Yeah, because the line, I didn't see a line get below 4. Around this area. So I didn't see anything get below 4. I saw some 3.5s that were juiced, but sincerely, I didn't see anything get below 4. And then it looks like some influential money came into the market on Buffalo, and we saw that go to 4.5 and even 5 some places. So we're seeing 4.5 minus 115 at DraftKings right now for Buffalo. And we're definitely seeing some 5s pop up across the market right now.
So I've been interested in the total on this one all week long. We just came in and it was 3 degrees in my car. Yep. I actually had to pump gas this morning.
I did too, and my pump did not work.
Wow!
So I got about $13 or $14 worth of gas in about 10 minutes. It was slow as molasses,
dude. I drive an SUV and I put $30 in it and bounced. I couldn't sit out there anymore.
Dude, mine was not working.
And so this is granted, I went near the ocean in Dorchester, near the ocean. It's cold over here. Sometimes it's warmer near the ocean, they say. No. Tonight the Patriots are playing in Buffalo. If it's this cold, it's gonna be hard to throw the football and catch the football.
Yep.
Do people realize how hard it is to catch a football in this kind of weather?
It's going to be colder.
Now, listen.
It is going to be colder than it is right now.
Yes. I understand that these people are professional athletes. They can do things we can't. I fully understand that. We're all human. It's cold out there.
You want a fun stat? When the weather is 32 degrees or below, the drop rate increases by over 4% in an NFL football game. And when it's under 10 degrees or below, the drop rate increases by 17% in an NFL football game. So, yes, there's going to be drops tonight by both sides. Both sides.
You know that concern. Jacoby Myers, right off the bat, is who I think of. Nice little players developed into a wide receiver. His hands are still sometimes iffy.
I agree.
But the only problem with Myers is the speed. That's the only thing.
You know who I think of? I think, to me, the number one guy I think of is going to be Isaiah McKenzie. And because I think Buffalo's going to try and use him and Cole Beasley. And I would be concerned about those two guys tonight. The slot guys who are trying to make moves with, you know, usually with the football, it's in their hands. I would be too concerned about those two guys. Diggs, I'm not really worried as much about. He played in Minnesota. He's used, he played a lot of outdoor games in the NFC North. I know Minnesota's a dome, but I'm saying Green Bay, Chicago, not really a concern for them.
You just mentioned a name that I have not heard all week long. Cole Beasley. Didn't play in the last matchup.
Did not, yeah. He was And he was basically worthless in the first matchup. Basically didn't really do much.
But still, Emmanuel Sanders dropped the pass among whatever the guy.
Another guy who's back tonight, by the way. Emmanuel Sanders is back tonight as well. So, I mean, Buffalo's definitely getting healthy at the wide receiver.
Buffalo's run the football better of late. No. I mean, Singletary at least had 80 yards in the last couple of games, 100 yards one day. The problem with Buffalo for me is they don't have a running scheme.
Yeah.
Like, you watch Denver play, they got a running scheme. You know, you watch these teams, Patriots have a running scheme. But the weather tonight, I think, will absolutely be a factor. And I know some Patriots fans don't want to hear this one. And I'm being completely unbiased when it comes to this. A rookie quarterback. Dan, I get some stats for you regarding Buffalo this year versus rookies that will jump out at you.
What's gonna make sure when you talk about that discussion, you make sure who those rookies are.
A
lot of them are backup rookies rookies who are terrible this year. I don't think it's fair to group Jones in with those guys.
Okay,
fair.
And you know what? I can take his numbers out if you'd like.
No, I that's fine. I'm just saying, if you're talking about rookie quarterbacks as a whole, I think by far and away, Mac Jones, and I'm going to say Trevor Lawrence at times, were significantly ahead of where any other rookie quarterback was this year. Oh, I apologize. And Davis Mills.
Davis Mills finished the year very
well. I thought Davis Mills was really, really good in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I agree.
When he came in to relieve Tyrod Taylor, he was very good. Yeah, he called out his.
So, those are the two games today. We'll hit on those. We have enough time to break down everything that's going on.
Only
today.
Six games this week.
Just to kind of scroll through the rest of these before we hit the break. Philly, Tampa Bay. The only angle for me is Tampa Bay's at home. They put up like 47 points a game when they're at home. Now they've played Philly already this year. They didn't cover, but they won. It just kind of seems to me like a similar spot. Like Tampa Bay will win the game. I look at props in this one. I don't know. I'll give out a pick later in this one, but I think Jalen Hurts can do some things statistically where I think there could be some props that benefit him that people could bet on today. As far as the game goes, I don't trust Tampa Bay to cover a spread when they can just win. They did it last year against Washington. They beat the Packers outright. I'm trying to think, who was the other team they played last year? Washington, I'm trying to think of who else. Saints.
New Orleans.
And there were dogs in that one, I think, too.
I'm not sure about that.
Because they were on the road.
I think they were, yeah.
Yep. But anyways, I'm saying is just win the game.
That will fit into a trend that that I have later if you're a Patriots fan or a Cardinals fan this weekend.
San Fran, Dallas, this feels like the 90s, baby. Feels like the 90s. Dallas scored 50 points last week, and I don't know if it meant anything going into this week. But San Fran, like, I'm not a Shanahan guy. I'm not. But I was impressed with Jimmy Garoppolo last week.
They got lucky. I will live and die by the fact that they got lucky.
What happened?
They down 17 points. They got lucky that the Rams, that Stafford just couldn't, you know, he was playing so well in the first half and fell apart later on. And then, you know, the Rams scored a touchdown right before. I think they're up seven right before, you know, and then, you know, the Niners drive down and they do get a touchdown. I thought that there was some interesting defense played by the Rams on that drive. But yeah, look, I think Arizona is lucky. Sorry, excuse me. San Francisco is lucky to be in the playoffs and that they are extremely lucky it's not New Orleans.
Okay, and then the final game here. Rams, Cardinals. You mentioned Stafford, man. I've read some stats of late that, he's been bad the last four games. Yep. Like, he's been bad.
You know who else has been bad? Kyler Murray.
You know, I think there's a beef between Kingsbury and Murray.
That might be the case.
You know how, like, people complain about Mac Jones' body language at times? Yeah. Kyler Murray is got like one of the worst body languages in football.
Yeah, I don't know
if it's a baseball background or whatnot. Like, he's miserable. I think he hates his coach. I really do.
Possibly. I also think not having DeAndre Hopkins, who, by the way, is out for Monday's game, is a major loss for that team. They have not been the same without him. Murray has not been the same without him. The team has not been the same without him. Again, we'll dive deeper into these games, just kind of outlining the games this weekend. And then, Joe, the game you talked about earlier, Pittsburgh-Kansas City, the largest spread for a wild card week at open 13.5, Kansas City, down to 12.5 most places, so a little bit of influential money coming in on Pittsburgh. They are not as they are a pretty trendy dog this weekend, surprisingly. The tickets are about 50-50. The money's about 50-50 most places. We're seeing some pretty good even action on that game. So I'm surprised about that.
Yeah, I thought I want to say
another team who backed into the playoffs.
Last night it's just kind of funny. Like I'm watching like television or whatever, and wife goes, that guy Ben Roethlisberger is still playing. He's fat. I was like, hey, you know, he's up on fat guys. You know?
Seriously,
but like it was just kind of funny. Like that guy's still playing. Yep, he's still playing.
Yep,
hey, Tucker's here. How's it feel not to look up any fantasy stats for a week?
I am participating in some DraftKings wildcard action, but, you know, it's nice to take a break from the regular season.
Do you ever get, like, a clearer view of things when you're not, like, crunching numbers?
No.
No?
What do you mean by that?
No, like, I don't know. Like, when you – sometimes, like, I don't know. Like, I look at Jalen Mills today as a guy that'd probably be a nice little fantasy player to the, not Jalen.
The cornerback?
Jalen Hurts. Sorry.
Yeah, no. I mean, he's been a solid fantasy quarterback all year just because he can do it with his legs. Yeah, and chances are he'll be playing from behind today.
I'm generally a guy who likes to bet sides and totals. You know, like, that's what I like to do. There are prop bets. I know Dan generally leans towards the unders on a lot of these.
I mean, again, overs are esteemed and overvalued, and unders are usually underplayed and undervalued.
Last night, I was watching that Celtics game. Well, before the game, I'm like, I want an angle on this one. And I saw that Joel Embiid had 30 points in 8 straight games. And the over-under was 29.
He destroys the Celtics.
And he only had 25 last
night. But, dude, when you're up 20-something points at halftime, they take him out. Cause like, yeah. He still finished with 25. But I was all over that under last night. I just looked at it as, well, Horford's defended him well, and, you know, okay. And that's what I mean by an under, Dan. Like, I see that one, and I was like, yeah, trendy favorites, he's going to go over. But, like, there's passing yards today. There's a fun little one today, Dan. We'll go to break now. There's a fun little one today. Maybe we can revisit this later. It's a prop bet on BetOnline. Who will have more? Mac Jones pass attempts or Jason Tatum points tonight? You know those little inner sport bets?
Yeah, usually they do a lot of those.
Let's revisit that one later.
Okay.
Let's just revisit that one. Because it's cold out there. It is cold. And you know what? I've had some people tell me they're making a 10-hour drive to Buffalo today.
I almost went to Buffalo today. Me and my buddies were very close to going to Buffalo today.
All right. Quick story. I went to the Tennessee Titans game in 2003.
God bless you.
Dude, when I tell you it was the coldest day I've ever been. No, I'm not kidding.
It was one of the coldest days on record.
My buddy bought a beer, and it was frozen, like, before we even got to our seats. I'm sorry, we're down in the concourse, walked up, and it was frozen. I was standing on cardboard. Like, they were handing out cardboard, so we weren't standing. There was the cold. I don't know why I went. Like, it was like one of those situations. Nobody sat down.
Were they freebies or did you pay for them?
Yeah,
that's part of the reason.
It's kind of. It's not worth it.
I think it's like $30 tonight.
Not to mention it's a Saturday night.
I mean, you can get all the hand warmers you want, dude. I've worn 9 pairs of socks before just to wear them.
Gonna get those wool socks, Joe.
Yeah, but it still goes through.
Yeah, it does. You gotta wear the steel-toed boots with the socks.
And listen, I'll drink whiskey all night. It doesn't help.
Doesn't help your feet.
Just a little bit.
No, not your feet. No,
I don't think anything would help in that weather, though.
The feet, there's no shot.
Yeah, it doesn't help my feet.
There's no shot. And please, I don't want anybody calling in about how to, you know.
Yeah, Joe. You got to get those Joey, warmers.
You got to get steel wool.
You shake them up. You put them in your boots.
Yo, just start a fire. Bring a barrel. Bring a barrel and start a fire. Anyways, all right, we're off and running. Well, we want to do the Vegas.
Let's get into the first game.
All right, Bengals, Vegas. And hey, your calls today at 617-779-0985. It is the DraftKings Over Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show on 98.5, the sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hey, it's the DraftKings Over Under Show. Phone number 617-779-0985. We got two games today, two games tomorrow, and then the old Monday night.
Three games. Two games today, three games tomorrow, one game Monday.
That's right. We have the nightcap tomorrow night.
Yes.
The one for 4:30 and 8. Oh, that Chiefs game at the end of the week for a bailout.
Usually it's three Saturday, three Sundays. The first time they're doing the Monday wild card thing. We'll see.
Just real quick, we kind of touched on it last week. How did you feel about the 18-game season? Do you think the fact that the Chargers and Raiders game, I don't know if this has been said on the air, but the performance by Justin Herbert is legendary. It's going to be legendary.
I mean, it was pretty great until overtime.
Yeah.
It was pretty great. I mean, the thing is that that could have happened in a Week 17 setting last year, so I mean it. I mean I'm not really attributing that to Week 18. I don't mind having the extra game as long as the players are okay with it. But it did feel like the late buys, and there are a lot of guys who burned out quickly this year.
I was going to say
a little concerned, especially with the injuries. Patriots,
right?
Yeah, I wasn't like so excited about it. I mean it was just different. That's all.
No, I thought the Rams burned out. The Chiefs had issues.
The Cardinals burned out.
There are a lot of teams that burned out. But even the Chiefs for a little bit had a hiccup. Then at the end of the year, they had the COVID stuff. And now Tyreek Hill is dealing with something there.
You almost got to divide the season into like 6-6-5.
Do you know who did it right? And I'm Tampa Bay.
I could not disagree
more. See, this
is
why we disagree.
Could not disagree more.
The reason why they did it right was they still were the number two seed.
They lost Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans is banged
up. No, but that's not their fault.
That's not doing it right.
No. How, though? When they got hurt, what can you do when someone gets hurt?
Well, I mean, I think the better example is Leonard Fournette.
Fournette's another one.
Total example of wear and tear.
Yeah.
Godwin is just a freak injury.
I'm not even talking about the injuries. I'm talking about.
Well, what are you talking about?
There were games this year that they should have won that they lost. Like, they had this long vision. They're the number two seed.
I thought they were lucky to win.
They had this games. Long vision of we can take a scheduled loss this week.
Oh, I thought you meant
we
maintenance.
Can do this.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought he meant.
That's my fault for confusing things. Okay. That makes way more sense. But what I'm saying is they had this vision where they were like, we don't need this game.
I thought it was incredibly stupid of them to play the full game last week.
Well, who's their running back now?
I mean, Fournette.
Fournette
maybe,
is very, very questionable.
Okay, and then Ronald Jones isn't ready, right?
No, he's out.
So they don't have a back.
Vaughn.
Yeah. Who's more of a passing back.
Yeah, he's a second year guy. Yeah.
I mean, they're, you know, Fournette's going to play.
But what I mean,
he is not going to be healthy.
What I mean, though, is the tunnel, the long vision of it all. I think Tampa Bay saw it. Dallas, again, I don't know what they did last week.
They needed their guys to play because Gallup got hurt, and they needed guys to play. So
the Rams, again, I think they won, what, four in a row or something and backed in. I still think they backed. I think Stafford was so bad towards the end.
No, they didn't. They won the division. They didn't back in.
Well, the Cardinals.
Right. Okay. The Cardinals. Niners. I mean, they're three playoff
the
teams.
Bills really turned it on at the end.
See, I again, another thing I totally disagree with. They went 4-1, but they were not great. Josh Allen had his worst game maybe ever against, right, you know, against the Falcons. Like, yeah, that's not, they were not great against the Jets early on. Like,
that one was a major red flag for me, too.
Yeah.
Here's another thing I think should be brought up today.
Straight up wins, in my opinion, don't, like, beating a bad team doesn't count for as much in my book. Maybe that's just me.
All right. I want to just bring up a couple of scenarios. Do you remember in 2018, the Patriots had that terrible loss, you know, against the Dolphins that we all laugh about?
Miami Miracle, yeah.
And they had two games to go at the end of the year. They took care of business the two games of the year, got the bye, and went into a playoff run. They used those two games to get it together, all right? And I know things are different now because of the 18-game season is what I'm bringing up here. So they had 17. They had those two games to, like, really figure it out. Buffalo beats the Patriots. They had Atlanta, which they struggled early on and won the game. They had the Jets, which they struggled but ended up winning the game and covering. So, like, these teams do their job. And I know it's not pretty. There's just sometimes there's, like, we can always laugh about trends. Like, oh, yeah, those. I want to make this clear. Any trend regarding the New England Patriots playoff history is null and void today. It's, you can't use any Patriots history because of the Tom Brady factor. You just can't do it. There's a lot of Buffalo trends today that don't favor Josh Allen. A lot. But then when it comes to Vegas and Cincinnati, which I want to get to in a second here, you know that, like, Vegas hasn't beaten Cincinnati in years? Dude, I went back and looked.
But again, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Exactly what I'm saying. The history shows that they haven't beaten them in, like, I want to say, like, 10 years. I looked back at Cincinnati and their playoff record. Dude, there was a 1991
91 the last win.
Which I couldn't even find the spread on it.
Yeah, that was before texting.
That's like Icky Wood stuff.
That was before texting.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Texting is not, I believe that.
So generally, these two teams, I literally, there's nothing to break down here besides what you saw this year in the regular season and the fact that they already played each other.
But that should be every game. That's exactly what I talk about when you talk about trends. It doesn't mean a dang thing. Who cares what Tony Romo's Cowboys did against the Eagles?
Well,
10 years, like, you know what I mean?
I feel that makes sense.
But, like, it doesn't make any sense. Nothing, trends don't matter with the exception of maybe the past 2 or 3 years. I fully believe that in terms of teams matching up against other teams. When it comes to history and spot situations, that's different. That's my opinion. I don't care about the histories between the teams, you know, with the exception maybe the past 2 or 3 years, maybe. But when it comes to spots, that's always where I think that history shows you where people overvalue a certain angle or a certain favorite or a certain side, et cetera, et cetera. I think that's the better way of viewing things, in my opinion.
Mike is in Weymouth. Hey, Mike, you're on the Sports Hub.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
What's going on, Mike?
Here we go. Wild weekend. I'm in a NFL pick'em season long. Got to go against the spread, all the games. Had kind of a tough year. I'm sitting right around 500, a little under, but I do have a side bet, me and a good friend of mine, that we take very serious. And right now, I actually am up on them by 5 games going into the playoffs. We got these extended playoffs, and I don't know today. I know what you're saying about the dogs, but I'm feeling favorites. I really think the Cowboys, they got the weapons just. San Fran played a good game last week, but I think Cowboys are clicking. I don't think that they can beat Green Bay, but I think Tampa or the Cowboys could go But I do like Buffalo, and I think the Rams are going to pull it out. And the Bucs, that's a tough one. And on the spread, I think the Bucs win, but it could be under. But I love listening to you guys every week. So let's go. It's going to be some good football this weekend, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks. All right, Mike. Thanks for listening, man.
I don't know what happened, but that guy reminds me of a guy that I've heard before. You guys remember like a clip of like a guy calling saying that the Cowboys are clicking? I don't know. I feel like that's that guy. I don't know. You know how you just listen to a lot of sports radio and you're like, yeah, I kind of like, remember that guy? I haven't heard that clicking in a long time, and it reminds me of that guy. Anyways, all right, we'll take a quick break here, but it's the Vegas and Cincinnati. Cincinnati's now 5.5-point favorites. The total is 49. The two teams met earlier this year. Cincinnati won 32-13, and of course, Vegas, who won a playoff game last week. Let's call it what it was. Mm-hmm. They could have tied, though, too, if they wanted
to. And they've won back-to-back playoff games, in my opinion.
True. Win, you got to survive to stay in, and is that momentum, Dan, or is it a letdown spot? We'll talk about that coming up next here on 98.5 The Sports.
The DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Vegas, Cincinnati. The first game of the day today, somewhat of a toss-up when it comes to the betting line, I think. 6.5, 5.5, it's generally these touchdown or less games can be tough. There's one thing I'm looking at when it comes to Vegas. The letdown spot's number one, just off an emotional win. You mentioned two in a row. Even last week, that was nuts. So there's that factor. But the other thing is, whenever they've won a game this year, it's generally been by like 4 points or less or in overtime. So the spread's 5.5 right now. If they have a shot, it's going to stay within that number. Like, it's going to be around that number. So, again, I mentioned the previous matchup last time, Cincinnati 32-13. Both, you know, there's been a drought for how long is the... It's been a while since the Bengals, right? The old Andy Dalton days. But Carr was really good the last four games. Really good. So the Raiders are 2-0 in the postseason against Cincinnati, which means nothing. Dating back to 1975, Dan, really means a lot today. That game from 1975 really means a lot today. But no, for real though, Vegas' secondary is weak, and Cincinnati is one of the better premier. The thing is, can the Cincinnati offensive line hold up? And can they disrupt the Hunter Renfro Carr angle? I want to back Vegas. I'm just a little concerned about the letdown spot.
Yeah, it's why I'm not PPing Vegas either. And I haven't really taken a firm side on this game. But if I was to take one, it would be Vegas. Look, I'm going to be the guy. I think Joe Burrow is incredibly overrated this year. I think that Burrow was fantastic at times, and I think that he was terrible at other times. People forget, you know, during the middle of the season, Cincy's run of their wins came against the majority of their division. They really didn't have success outside the division until late in the season. Their offensive line was not great. And I thought Joe Burrow was terrible with decision-making. he hit a lot of big plays, but for a lot of the Bengals, you know, offensive drives this year was feast or famine. Either you're hitting a 30, 40-yard pass, or you're taking two sacks and it's gone three and out. And that was my biggest issue with how Cincinnati approached this year.
Yeah, the clock is like one of their issues. Like,
yep.
Their defense isn't good enough to go out on the field like constantly like they do. So that's another thing to consider today. And I mentioned this kid, Crosby on the air. He's dynamite, man.
Yep. Max Crosby.
He's really good.
Very good. Very good. I mean, and I kind of came across this stat yesterday, and I think it's really interesting. I'll see if I can find it. Okay, here we go. So here is the full list of pressure to sack percentage. So basically, how often do you take a sack under pressure? Joe Burrow, 29th in the league at 29.3%. Burrow was awful. I mean, awful this year when anyone got near him. Now, if teams blitzed him, he was the best quarterback in the league. And his average yards per play was insane. So basically, you take a look at how you beat Joe Burrow, okay? Burrow against the blitz this year, 0.38 EPA per pass, which is expected, you know, expected above average, okay? Which was better than Aaron Rodgers' MVP season. Joe Burrow, when he's not blitzed, 0.02 EPA per pass. Basically, the worst in the league. One of the worst in the league. So what does that say? Two things. One, that Cincinnati's offensive line is brutal, and they have not been good this year, which is true. I fully agree with that. And two, Joe Burrow has a tough time making decisions when teams are not blitzing him. He holds the ball too long. He doesn't have the escapability maybe because of the knee. I look at this and say Joe Burrow is a concern for the way I'm concerned the way he's going to play. On the opposite side of the coin, Joe, you like trends. Derek Carr, in games where kickoff temp was 37 degrees or less, the kickoff temp today in Cincinnati is supposed to be 27 degrees. Derek Carr, 0-5, never scored more than 17 points, one game with a passer rating of over 78, five interceptions in those
games.
Can we
just break down? That's not necessarily a trend. It's a fact.
Well, okay.
No. Put it into the equation, Dan.
Yep.
It is a fact. It's not a trend. It's a fact.
So
he struggles with the cold.
Carr has struggled in cold games. Burrow has struggled against teams that get sacks with four up front. Okay. The Raiders created the most pressure in the AFC without blitzing this year. It's a bad matchup for both sides, and I think that's why we've seen the under come down from 49.5 to 48.5. And just to give you an example of where the money's kind of coming in, right? 68% of the bet on the over, 35% of the money, which obviously means 32% of money, 32% of the bet on the under, 65% of the money. So definitely the sharper side. There's a couple of guys I respect who've been talking about the first half under, especially since these guys have not played in a playoff game. There's probably going to be some nerves on both sides. I would lean the under. I'd lean Vegas here. Definitely. Vegas at six might be kind of hard to pass up. They're basically giving you the Bengals money line on a tease. They're basically saying, take Cincy on the money line on the tease. I don't think I'm going to do it. I don't think I have the interest in Cincy. I don't think I have the interest in Vegas, to be honest with you. Like, I just, you know, I might play some under. I might play some Vegas. But this is a matchup where I think if you really break it down and kind of look into everything, Carr struggles in the cold. It's both the first playoff game. Vegas' strength is Cincinnati's weakness. Cincy's strength is Vegas. Yeah. Vegas' weakness when Cincy has the ball. And then vice versa, when Vegas has the ball, Cincy has not been able to run the football, but they were very effective running the football the first time.
Exactly. I was going to say, Joe Mixon rushed for over, 130 for 123.
Yeah, he was fantastic in that game.
But that's like killing the clock, keeping the ball. So, and Carr had two turns. It was 13-6 in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
He threw two picks, and that was the end of
it. And that was game, yeah. So, again, this is going to be a game. I think you got to probably look at the under here, seriously. Again, I'm not personally betting it myself. I think you got to look at the under seriously. And I think you have to take a look at, you know, I think you have to take a look at Vegas with the sixes. Everyone is so high on the Cincinnati team.
I'm not.
I got to be honest with you. I'm just not. I thought Jamar Chase and T. Higgins made up for a lot of not great play by Joe Burrow down the stretch. And I think that's why you saw Joe Burrow's MVP odds where they were and the lack of respect in the MVP race.
All right, I got a pick on this one, but okay. It's not a side or anything.
Okay.
I want T. Higgins over 40 and a half yards, receiving yards in this one.
Okay, that's minus 112.
Let's do it.
There it is.
112 with a play as well.
Where the hell are you seeing that?
What do you see that?
67 and a half.
Well, that's went up.
Let's see. That's T. Higgins receiving yards.
Yeah, over 40 and a half is what I had.
67 and a half.
That's gone up dramatically. Yeah, yeah. I got this yesterday.
Yeah, 67 and a half. So I guess we're going to – I think you're looking at Tyler Boyd, by the way. Boyd is 40.
Oh, my God. 40 and a half. It is Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You meant Tyler Boyd.
Tyler Boyd.
Okay.
Hey, can we do that again?
Once you PP, you can't unpeach. Yeah.
Joe had a brain fart. Okay, Tyler Boyd over 40. Sorry.
And I'm looking at it. I'm literally staring at it on my phone.
That's why I'm here.
Thank you. You're like, when'd you get that? I'm like yesterday.
What book are you playing?
No.
There you go.
Tyler Boyd, over 40 and a half receiving yards. What's that, Dan? Minus 120?
Minus 111.
Wow, okay, I got it at 120. So, Tyler Boyd, over 40 and a half is what I have.
Can I throw one out there?
Go ahead, please, Tucker.
Absolutely, Tuck.
I like Zay Jones, over 43 and a half receiving yards. It's a guy who's just seen close to 10 targets in the past, like, three or four games. He's been absolutely peppered with targets. And he's got a little experience in the cold weather. Former Buffalo Bill, if you recall.
Yeah.
43 and a half. He's been okay of late.
Okay. We're ringing that bell. That's a rare Tucker Silva PP right there.
We call that the Silva Duna. I'm trying to find this. I'm going to wait on this one. I might try to do this during the break here, but I want to see how many times Joe Burrow is sacked today. If there's an over under on that one,
I've not seen a sack line yet. I have been looking. I find the touchdown prop very interesting today for the passing touchdowns. Derek Carr over 1.5, even money right now. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow over 1.5, minus 192. And usually when you see a 1.5 touchdown prop that is around the 170-ish range, it's okay. You know, usually that happens. Once you get above that 185 number, in my opinion, from the historical aspects of it, you start playing with fire. So that's a little concerning to me that number is where it is. And passing yards, Joe Burrow, 263.5. Derek Carr, 252.5. This is me. I know you guys feel differently. I'd be looking at unders. To me, if I was approaching this game, I'd be looking at unders on the passing yards, maybe overs on the rushing yards, but I'd be looking at if I was going to take a wide receiver to go over this game, to me, Bryan Edwards is the guy. He's been the deep threat for Vegas. It's only 20.5. I feel like that's 1 to 2 receptions for him. His reception prop will probably be 2.5. Yep, 2.5 over is plus 140. I think the Bryan Edwards yards, because I think that's one play. But I think you're going to see a lot of unders. Jamar Chase, 71.5. Hunter Renfro, 56.5. Darren Waller, 60.5. I think we're going to see a lot of unders today in these receiver markets. I would just be very careful about playing overs in games with first-time quarterbacks. That's all.
How do you feel about Joe Mixon's 75.5 rushing?
I lean over, because I do think that's the way that you control the game.
Too.
I think that's the way you control the game if you're Cincy. I'm going to say it again. I'm concerned about Joe Burrow. I'm concerned about Derek Carr today. And you're hoping that maybe one of them has a good day. I'd be pleasantly surprised if both of those guys had a good day and both played really good games. I would not be shocked if we saw some jittery nerves early or whatever. I'm not I really don't love the overs in this game. I'm concerned.
Just a couple of things. Brian Edwards went 4 of 63 in the last game, yep, rest of the Chargers. Zay Jones, 5 of 27, but at least he had 8 targets, Tucker. So that's one of that. And then when it comes to rushing, Eckler, and this is maybe because the Chargers were behind late, 64 on the ground, 85 total yards. Jacobs, 132 on the ground last week.
Yeah, again, I thought that was the game plan. I don't think that that's going to be the game plan this week, to be fair.
Yep. All right, man, we'll take a break here. Well, let's get into the Patriots right at the top of the hour here. And obviously, this hour has been brought to you by Valvoline. Obviously, this hour has been brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. Who wants to help prepare your car for all your 2022 road trips? They offer completely contactless service with their 15-minute drive-through service, and you don't even need to make an appointment. Visit GivingOilChange.com for a coupon to save on your oil change. We will get into Patriots and Bills coming up next here on the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sport.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.